How are you all doing tonight? That's so good. Okay, my name is Natalie, and I'm here to talk about how God has impacted my life. Okay, so a few months ago, I met these people at school. I wanted to be friends with them very bad, but I was just jealous and wanted to be someone that I wasn't. They had all the fancy clothes and treated everyone horribly. I didn't realize it at first, but one day they told me, being a Christian isn't cool, and going to church isn't either. At first, I was so agitated and so angry, but I wanted to be friends with them, so I stopped going to church and tag. I was hanging out with unbelievers and rude people. They told me everything I wanted to hear and nothing, no truth at all. They told me I was ugly and talked behind my back. It was like they blinded me with their comments and used me. One day I woke up and realized this is not the way I wanted to live. My connection with God was fading, and I needed help and healing. I decided to go back to TAG, and instantly I knew this is what God had planned for me. A week later, I met this girl. She was a Christian and loved me for who I am. Her and her family really helped me reconnect with God. Without her and her encouragement, and without God, I do not think I would be here right now. I am now a member of the TAG Youth Band, playing my bass and using my talents for God. I am so thankful that God has blessed me with so many new opportunities and so many new people in my life. I read this scripture a few weeks ago, and it's very important to me. Hosea 12:6. Therefore, return to your God, observe kindness and justice, and wait for your God continually. I want you all to know, your walk with God is far from over. He did not take you this far to abandon you. He is with you throughout it all, and if you do not think so, I witnessed it myself. He took me through it all. He took me through thick and thin. I just want you to know that He is always with you. My life has changed from coming to the city church and meeting new people, and I am so thankful that I made that decision. Without the people here, I don't think I would be who I am right now. I don't think I would be the person that I ever wanted to be. Those people were changing me into somebody that I didn't want to be. And I just want you all to know that God is with you. He will never leave you. He's been with you this whole time. He is with you through thick and thin. He is with you through everything that you are going through today. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day, and I thank you for everybody in here. And I just want you to bless their hearts and let them know that you are here, God. You are standing right beside them. Your power is so great, God. I just pray for a great night and a great service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come on, give it up for Natalie. Nice job. Nice job.
Good evening, City Church. I have the honor of introducing our speaker tonight. So about 7 years ago, I went from basically just a life of partying and in a mess and waking up, doing the same thing every day, destroying myself, destroying my life. I came to believe that Jesus was the reason for my living. Jesus saved me. And so around that time, you know, when everybody that you were hanging out with is going this way and you decide you want to go that way, your friends go to zero real quick. And so it was like me hanging, you know, move back with my parents, hang out with my parents, whatever. And I was okay with that, but really I needed a friend. I needed somebody. Somehow I reached out, or Dan reached out to me. I don't remember exactly what happened. We met up at Tim Hortons in Brockport. I shared my testimony with him, and we instantly reconnected, and he's like, hey, come to this Friday night Bible study. And so every Friday night for 6 months, a year, something like that, I'd drive out to Dan's parents' house. We'd ride up there together. It was an awesome time, and Dan was my friend at a really important time. How many know that in that period of time, the devil can steal your joy, and he can take your faith. He can try to squash your faith, and Dan was a friend to me at a very important time. So I'm very thankful to Dan for that. So Dan is a lover of life. He is an adventurer. He is a bold spirit. We are probably more opposite than we are alike. Dan is a loving father and husband. He is a well-recognized trainer and speaker that speaks in front of people that make more in a year than money will ever be in my bank account. Dan is a handyman. Dan serves at our youth, and he serves up in the sound. But more than that, Dan is my friend. So will you please give an embarrassing City Church welcome to my friend, Dan Huntington.
Wow. After that introduction and following up what Natalie said, it's, job done. Everybody have a good night. All right. I'm gonna read a couple scripture verses to get started, and then I'm going to pray. But Natalie, what you said was beautiful. That was awesome. You did a great job. That was just gave me chills. I mean, it was beautiful. All right. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. John 13, 34 through 35. A new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for tonight already. I thank you for the ministry that's happened tonight already, Lord. I pray that you'll keep me out of what you're doing tonight, Lord. I pray that your words be spoken and not mine. Your glory be built and not mine, Lord. I pray that your word tonight will sit like a tick on the back of our minds and minister to all of us, including me, and remind us and tickle us as a reminder in the future. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. What I want to talk about tonight is reputation, right? Your reputation. Those verses that I read, starting out, talks about what our reputation should be as Christians, how people should recognize us as Christians. When I was a teenager, started hanging out with my friends, going out about the age of our youth, kind of to that age where I'd, leave home. Every time I'd walk out of the house, my mom would, she would always do this. She'd always go, "Make our name proud," as I walked out of the house. And I would get, so annoyed that she would do that. Youth, when your parents do some things that are, completely reasonable and for your better good, it's, so annoying, right? Even though, it's a good thing. And so finally I was like, "Mom, why do you always say that make the name proud thing? I don't like that. Why do you always say it?" So my mom was like, "I'm going to give you a history lesson. I'm going to tell you about Dr. Samuel Mudd." And I was like, okay, whatever. So Dr. Samuel Mudd, when Abraham Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth, he jumped out of the balcony and, like, escaped. But when he did that, he broke his leg. And while he was escaping, he stopped at a doctor's house. And the guy's name was Dr. Samuel Mudd. And that guy, like, fixed his leg, right? Guy knocks on his door. He's like, I need medical attention. You know, I broke my leg somehow. And so Dr. Mudd fixed up his leg, right? And then that helped John Wilkes Booth escape. Well, for generations, people have assumed that Dr. Samuel Mudd is in on the plot with John Wilkes Booth. And when you hear the phrase, your name is Mudd, it's not talking about dirt. It's talking about Dr. Samuel Mudd, because that turned into like a curse word. That name, Mudd, was an insult, because that reputation that stuck with that name as being the person who helped someone kill President Abraham Lincoln stained that family's reputation to this day, where they're now going, you know, like, they're like fighting it in, like, you know, historical, you know, I don't know, that part of the world I don't deal with. They're trying to claim the name of Mudd back. They're trying to clear their reputation, because a reputation lasts a long time. And my mom would say, our name isn't Mudd, and you better not make it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense. And guys, reputations are a powerful tool. They're a very powerful thing. That's why I have a picture of a knight in armor, right? That's the vision that I had when I thought about reputations. Because a reputation will go out before you, and it will open doors or close them, right? When you show up and you have a reputation before you get there, your job's either going to be really, really easy or very, very difficult. Now, when we go out with a reputation, we all represent different things. We have multiple reputations, right? Like, my last name is Huntington, so I represent the Huntingtons, you know, my family. I represent my wife and my daughter every time I walk out somewhere. I also represent Christ, right? I'm a Christian. I am Christ-like. I reflect back to Christ. I represent this church. I represent City Church. It's known that I go to City Church. It's known that I'm part of the ministry here. I represent Christ. When I go to, you know, when I'm working for my company, I wear a branded shirt. I represent my company. So my reputation reflects many different things. Now, we need to recognize, guys, that in the world, the reputation of Christians is under attack. Because if you can undercut somebody's reputation, you close the door before they even get there, right? And so if the devil, if the world can shut down our reputation, so when you walk up to someone and you say, hey, man, I want to talk to you about God, I want to talk to you about church, door closes. And that nips it in the bud. It keeps us from being able to actually minister to those people. And they want Christians to be synonymous with judgmental. They want Christians to be synonymous with exclusive, right? Us only, snobbish, looking down on people, not very cool, right? Even though Natalie's like super cool, right? They want us to be identified with things that are the opposite of who we are, right? We're not judgmental, we're accepting. We are known to love others. That's how we're supposed to be recognized. Here's my concern, is that sometimes I feel that in the church, we get so caught up in our identity, right? Dare I say our political identity, that our reputation suffers as a result, right? Because we go on things like social media, or we get into arguments over things that really have very little consequence in the, you know, scope of eternity, and we sacrifice our reputation to make a point. We bulldoze over somebody publicly. We use words that are, you know, mean and designed to cut and to attack someone else's reputation so that we can make our point. We are right in that instance. And you might be right, but being right is overrated. That's what Micah's dad told me. And it's true. It's very true. It's up to us to change and to be responsible for how we're perceived, how we interact with people, and how that reflects on our reputation, and then how that reputation affects the church, corporately and individually, right? The last thing that I want is to do something so that, you know, Aaron goes to minister to somebody, during Adopt-A-Block, and they're like, oh, you're from City Church? Yeah, I met that Dan guy from City Church. Real jerk. I'm not talking to you guys. You guys are ridiculous, right? That's the last thing I want to happen. So I wrote down a few notes on just kind of like my thoughts of what are some practical things that we can do to protect our reputation day to day. This is not an exhaustive list, okay? In fact, I wrote like a whole bunch of them, and then I was like, I tend to go over on time, so I better cut it back a little bit. So I like picked my favorites out of it. So this is not by any means an exhaustive list at all. But I want to just talk about what are things that a good reputation does. Okay? A good reputation defends another. A good reputation defends another. Nothing kills your reputation than talking bad about someone else's. That poisons it. That kills it right away. This was a couple years ago. I was working with these two guys out in California, and we had like a new boss who was like taking over that area, and he had two guys reporting underneath him. And I was talking to the guy who is the boss, and I was like, hey, you know, how are things going? What can we do to help, you know, make this kind of transition easier? And he goes, no, I think everything's really good. You know, I've worked really hard to build a strong relationship with my team. You know, I've built trust. I've done all these things, which are very important things in a business relationship, right? To have that trust, to have that reputation of trust with your employee so they know that they can come to you. I was like, oh, man, you know, that's awesome. Sounds like everything's going great. And then I talked to his employee, and I was like, hey, man, you know, how are things with the new boss? Everything's going good, right? He's like, yeah, he's fine. I just don't trust him. And I'm like, okay, like, that's a big deal. Like, what's going on? He's like, yeah, he's like, every time I hang out with him, he's bad-mouthing my coworker, the other guy I work with. He's always telling me how lazy he is, how dumb he is, how he can't get anything done. He's cutting him down. He goes, I know for a fact he's doing the same thing about me as soon as I walk out of the room. And that hit me. It was like a lightning bolt. I was like, this is the most basic, like, human relationship there is, like, boss-employee. Like, there's not a whole lot of, like, black, you know, gray. It's all black and white. It's a very basic relationship. And it was ruined instantly because, guess what? The boss thought he was bonding, right? Having a common enemy with somebody is kind of like a bonding thing, right? You can bond over that to say, yeah, that guy's terrible, right? And yeah, he is. We're friends now. We have something in common. No, it's not. It's not how it works. It feels good in the moment, but the long term is terrible. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Benefit those who listen. When you talk bad about somebody else, even though they're not there, you're talking bad to that person that you're speaking to. You're poisoning that person's mind, and you're poisoning the relationship that they could have with that person in the future, right? They meet the guy, and they're like, yeah, he's a perfectly nice guy, but apparently he's super lazy and can't get anything right according to this guy, right? You've poisoned their relationship. You've robbed them of that opportunity to work. Benefit those who listen, guys. That's like a good litmus test. Anytime you go to write something on Facebook, right? Anytime you go to write a comment, any comment, it's a public record and it stays forever. People read it. And guess what happens on Facebook? Is that, okay, let's say you get in like a comments war or something like that, like back and forth. You're attacking the person, you're cutting them down, right? You're talking bad about them. You've not hurt that person. You've hurt yourself. Because that person that you're commenting at isn't the only person who reads those comments, right? Everybody reads those comments. Pastor probably reads those comments, everyone sees it because it's a public record. Don't put it on Facebook if it doesn't build someone else up. Proverbs 11:13. A gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Don't betray confidence in another person. Don't ruin that relationship by talking bad about them. If someone tells you something in trust, that's a precious thing, right? That's a beautiful thing that you have. Don't ruin that with them. Because even though it feels good, right? Like you can be like, oh, buddy, buddy. Like, oh, I got a secret to tell you about someone. And they come over and you tell it and you're like, oh, this is fun. We're telling secrets about other people. That person that you just told the secret to is never going to tell you a secret, right? They do not trust you, period. And if they do, they're kind of dumb for trusting you. You prove yourself as untrustworthy. So gossip hurts you more than it hurts the person that you're gossiping about. And if you're going to say something, use the litmus test. Will it benefit those who listen or read it? Okay, guys? Does that make sense? And that ties into my next point that I wanted to talk about. A good reputation thinks before it speaks. Right? A good reputation thinks. It takes a minute. Right? It breathes. I wasn't even going to say this, but why not? I'm a dad, and I have a 2-year-old daughter, which means that most of the TV that I watch is geared for a much younger demographic, right? And one of her favorite TV shows is a little program called Daniel Tiger. And Daniel Tiger is like the remake of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And it's just got tons of great life lessons. Like, it's just, like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, yeah, this is really good. And it has this, like, little jingle. And I think of it all the time, like, at work. I'm like, ugh. And it goes, if you feel so mad that you want to roar, take a deep breath and count to 4. That's from Emma to the pulpit. And Emma sings it. Emma knows it. And I sing it. I need that sometimes. I need to take a minute because a quick, thoughtless response can ruin your reputation in an instant, right? An instant, because even if you say something and then you immediately apologize, it's too late. It's already left. And what does that person think? They go, well, I guess that's how it really feels, right? Even though it might not be, even though it might have just been a completely thoughtless comment, you have poisoned that relationship by that thoughtless word, by just speaking it out. And guys, those little digs, those little, you know, smart comments, they feel really good in the moment you say them. Like, trust me, I'm like the king of the witty comeback, right? I love a good witty comeback. But they're not good for the relationship that you say them in. And guess where this happens the most? Guess where these little digs, these little comments, guess what relationship they happen in the most? Husband and wife. Husband and wife. It's so easy because it's easier to make a little dig comment than to address an actual issue, right? But what happens is that it undermines, right? It's like a poison. It slowly erodes. It goes in and it plants itself in that person's mind. And it slowly erodes it. It ruins that relationship. I have a coworker that I work with, and he wrote an email. This was a while ago. He wrote an email, and it kind of like made me mad, right? This email did. And so I like fire back a response, right? Just like boom, you know, like shut him down, right? Didn't. Reread it, you know, didn't save it and come back to it, right? I wrote it out of emotion. And, like, it had some sarcasm in it because it's me. And, you know, it was, I could justify it as, like, oh, like, it was only supposed to be a joke or whatever, but it wasn't. Like, I was mad. And, it, like, I offended this guy. And I know this guy. I work with him. He's a brother in Christ. I've known him for 5 years. I value my relationship with him. And, you know, after I had, like, cooled down, you know, the initial response, I was like, man, that was wrong of me. You know, I need to go and I need to apologize. So I went to him directly and it, you know, to his office. And I said, dude, look, I sent that email. Didn't mean for it to come across so strong. Like, I really value what you're doing. I understand where you're coming from. Like, I apologize. I was wrong. And he's like, yeah, I totally accept it. But there's still that, like, in our relationship, I, like, robbed something of it, right? I, like, poisoned it a little bit. And it's going to take years for me to make up for that, even though we've had a great relationship for the last 5 years, right? That little dig does tons of damage. That little, that quick comment makes tons of damage. James 3, 5 through 6. It says, likewise the tongue. So before this, it's talking about how the rudder of a ship can direct the whole ship, right? This tiny little rudder can move this huge mammoth piece of machinery. It talks about, you know, the huge horse as like a big majestic animal is moved by a little bridle, a little bit in its mouth. And it says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evils among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. That's crazy, right? Talk about a like clear warning in the Bible. You'd be like, guys, there's this one thing that you really have to work out, right? You got to be careful about it. It's going to curse. It will set the whole course of your life. And it's your tongue. It's the words that you speak. It will set the direction of your life and others' lives. You can speak into someone's life, and what if they believe you? Right? What if Natalie didn't have the people that she was surrounded by here at City Church? What if she believed the things that people said about her? What if she believed that? And I think that she might have for a little bit. And how much joy would the world be robbed of? Right? We have a preacher. Obviously, we have a preacher in development over here. Natalie, the preacher. We absolutely do. She is going to change people's lives. She's going to encourage people and build them up. But the words of others almost destroyed that. So watch your words that you don't destroy others. James 1, 19 through 20 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. The embodiment of that scripture, every time I read it, I think of my father-in-law, Charlie Crawford, right? Charlie is, he listens. He's a great listener. And he is slow to speak. And I've never seen him get angry, right? It's funny how those two things go hand in hand, right? His reputation then is that when he speaks, you listen. The result of that action, the result of how he lives his life, is when he speaks, you listen. He's held in very high regard in the church, in our family, in his community. People listen to what he says. And it's funny that it says slow to speak and slow to become angry. Because those two things go hand in hand, right? Right? Like, you make a comment, right? You're getting upset. You're in an argument. You make a comment. And what does the person that you say that comment to do? They get angry, right? And anger is contagious. So you're feeding it. You're feeding that anger. You're feeding that argument. And the whole time, you're cutting that reputation down. You've cut it down in a moment, guys. So a good reputation, it thinks before it speaks. Next is a good reputation acts. For you to have a good reputation, your words need to mean something, right? Your words need to actually hold some weight. Who's heard this? Like, yeah, that guy's really cool, but he's all talk, right? That guy's all talk. He's not going to do anything. He's all talk, right? That's a reputation that you can have. If you're not careful, you can have all the right words to speak, everything to say, but if you're all talk, it's really meaningless. You're only going to impact people for a very short period of time before they're like, yeah, no, this guy, he's all talk. James 2, 14 through 17 says, "What good is it, my dear brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' and does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it?" Right? I love how practical that is. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Right? That's the Bible saying, do something about it. Do something. Act. I love pastors. A huge example of this, right? Pastor looks for ways to bless people. Pastor has set up an organization designed to bless people, right? And we all get to be part of that by just volunteering. There's tons of opportunities to do that, tons of opportunities to serve, to act, and to feed into other people's lives. If you walk into a Starbucks or a Tim Hortons, most likely a Starbucks, and pastor's there, there's no chance you're paying for your coffee, right? That's how pastor is. He's a blesser. He wants to bless you. He wants to act on it because he needs his ministry to have legs. He needs his reputation to have legs and to open up doors for us, right? For this church, for this community, so that we can continue to work and develop people in it and find people and minister to them. We don't want our ministry to be stale, to be pointless or meaningless. And that's why we have a great church. We have a great body of people. And guys, sometimes acting, right? It's not always giving somebody money. It's not always changing their tire for them when they're on the side of the road. Sometimes it's harder than that. Sometimes it's reaching out to them. Sometimes it's giving somebody an encouraging word, right? We live in a society that has everything that we need, right? We are a product-rich society, right? We have very few true needs in our society as a whole. And I know that there are people in actual need. But what our society is lacking is true relationships. True connection with another person. And that's one of the most beautiful things that you can do. It's one of the most beautiful things that you can give to somebody. It takes time, right? It takes a whole lot more time than buying somebody some coffee or changing their tire, right? Building and developing a relationship with somebody. That takes a commitment of time. And that is very difficult to do. For your words to mean something, you need to have something behind them. Words without actions are cheap. We need to work, and we need to work on blessing one another. That's all I'm going to say about that. Next, this one's my personal favorite. A good reputation is the boss's favorite, right? A good reputation is the boss's favorite employee. And that's a good litmus test. I was thinking about this when I wrote it. It's a good litmus test to think about what your reputation is by what your boss and your coworkers think about you. Because you spend more time at work than really anywhere else. Right? I was like doing some figuring on my calculator today. I'm like, how much time have I spent at work? Like in the last like 5 years or whatever. And it was like 14,000 hours. At work, or, you know, ridiculous, right? I see the people that I work with for 9 hours a day, and then I go home, I'm with my family for like three, and then we're sleeping the rest of the time, right? I don't go to bed at 8, so maybe it's a little longer than 3. You spend more time with the people that you work with. So guys, if we're Christians, If we're representing Christ at work, we should be the boss's favorite, right? We should be working hard. We've got not only our own reputation, not only our family's reputation, but Christ's reputation on the line. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." That word, work heartily, it's like work with a passion, right? Like, so, you know, a lot of us have work and then we have hobbies, right? And we work really hard at our hobbies. You know, we're really, really good at that because we're passionate about it, right? But that's what it's saying is work heartily as for the Lord, because our passion should be serving the Lord everywhere we are, right? That should be our driving force. It doesn't matter if you're digging a ditch or if you're programming, you know, doing engineering calculations or, you know, smart stuff that I don't, you know, really understand. It doesn't matter where you are, blue collar or white collar. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for His reputation. And that's more important than any little menial task that you're doing, is that you're representing Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." Whoa. That's like real talk, right? That's straightforward, straight from the Bible. I didn't change that at all. If you're unwilling to work, you shall not eat. The Apostle Paul talked about, you know, when I was with you, we worked, you know, so that we didn't owe you anything, so that our reputation wasn't meaningless with you, right? That you didn't owe us. We were a blessing to you. That's what we need to be to others. How can you bless others if you have a reputation of being lazy, right? How can you bless others if the people that you're trying to bless don't really respect you? They don't respect the work that you've done. They think, okay, yeah, what's he going to ask for? You know, like, sure, he's giving me this now, but, you know, everything comes at a cost. You know, what's that cost with this guy? You need to work in life. And guys, when you're working for a company, when you're working for a boss, be that guy's favorite person, right? You also are representing him when you go out. You're representing your boss. You're representing your company. And guess what? Blessing begets blessing, right? When you work to bless your company, when you work to bless your boss, you get things like raises and promotions, and you get to, you know, make more money, right? You get blessed in return, right? It's a cycle. But it starts with you working. Your job doesn't owe you a promotion. Your job doesn't owe you, you know, anything, right? I had a guy in my office like 2 weeks ago, and he's like, what am I doing at this company? You know, I deserve a raise. I deserve a promotion. I deserve, you know, to get this and this and this. You know, what do you think? And I'm like, well, I think that you should work hard, you know, kind of like you haven't been doing. I think that you should, you know, work hard, focus on this area, do it for a year, and then you'll probably get a promotion. Like, it's pretty simple to me. And he's like, I don't know what you're telling me. And she's like, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, I literally just told you what you have to do. I don't like how that sounds, right? Oh, sorry, bud. Like, that's all you can do, right? There's no entitlement, right? You can't have an entitled attitude and have a good reputation, right? Focus on you. Focus on working hard. Focus on representing Christ properly. And let the rest take care of itself, guys. It's not that complicated. And in closing, a good reputation is born again in Christ. Imperfection is our natural state, right? The Bible says that we're steeped in sin at birth. We are not good people, right? There's been countless psychology experiments that have proven if you take away, you know, the structure of society, human beings turn pretty bad pretty quick. There is nothing redeeming about us in ourselves. We absolutely need Christ to redeem us and to help us have a good reputation, right? It is only done through Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We all need to be new creations. We are all imperfect. We all fall short. None of us do this every single time, all the time. It's impossible for us. And that's why we need to lean on Christ. It is through Christ that we can do all things, not on our own. Because we will fall short. We will let people down. We'll let our emotions get in control, and we'll shut somebody down. We'll talk bad about somebody else. We will ignore somebody when they're in need, because we can't do it on our own. Psalm 34:10 says, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. No good thing. So guys, if you're sitting here tonight and you're like, you know what? Like, I get it. Okay? I've fallen short. And I'm the first person to admit I've fallen short. The first step to changing your reputation, to turn it around, it's right there. Seek the Lord. You seek the Lord and you'll lack no good thing. You will receive it. Seeking the Lord looks like reading your Bible, right? Seeking the Lord looks like listening to worship music when you're down. It looks like going to church. It looks like getting around people who speak the truth into you, who tell you who you are, not people who bury you, right? Not people who are gossiping about you, not people who want to hurt you, but people who want to encourage you and build you up. This community right here, that's what it looks like to seek the Lord. And I think about just all of the radically changed reputations of people in this room. The radically different people. Chris Busniak. Where is Chris? Is he here? Oh, there he is. Hi, Chris. Chris is awesome. Super nice guy. He's standing at the back of the church. I walk up. I high-five him. Give him, like the bro hug or whatever. If I saw Chris not in the church and, on the street corner somewhere, I'd be like, dude, like, you're scary, bro, right? If I didn't know his reputation in the church, right, if he didn't have that radically changed reputation, I'd be a little intimidated by you, bro. I'm just saying, man. You're a big guy. You're a big dude. And it's Christ's reputation, right? It's Christ that has converted him and radically changed Chris Busniak into a lover of all people, into somebody who can minister to people, who serves and serves with a cheerful heart and serves everybody. Brad T, huge transformation in his life. He went from being like negative money to positive money, right? Like, huge change in his life where, like, he gets to, like, go to Korea and stuff like that as, like, part of his company. I mean, it's amazing. Paulie Lamandola. Paulie, huge transformation in his life. One of the most bold people that you could come across, right, is now been changed because he did this. He sought the Lord. And he got around people who were doing the same thing. Amen? So I'm gonna close in prayer, guys. And I want to pray for you. If you just felt a moving of the Holy Spirit on your heart, if you felt like, you know what, Lord, he's right. I'm not doing this. I'm missing the boat. I'm gonna pray that we'll seek the Lord first. And that he'll be faithful in his promise that no good thing will be held from us. Okay? Dear Lord, we thank you again for who you are. We thank you that your word holds true, that you will hold no good thing from us. And God, for those of us here that have fallen short, which are all of us, God, we pray that you will make us a new creation again. We pray that you will use us to bless others. We pray that you will help us tame the tongue. The Bible says that no man can tame the tongue. We hope that pray that your spirit will tame our tongue, Lord. We pray, God, that we will act when we see someone in need and that you'll give us the opportunity to do that. We pray that you'll give us a new and renewed passion of the things that we work towards and work for every single day, and that our reputation will be a true reflection of who you are, and that it will open doors in people's lives and hearts for us to minister your love to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Beautiful. Come on. Give the Lord a big hand clap. Stay down here just a second, because I'm going to have you pray. Is Stacy down here too? Oh, great. Is Emma? Is she's taken care of. I don't have to worry about. Kathy's got her in the back. I want to take just a couple things on what you said. I'm 61, so I got a little bit of experience. You can keep on playing, Debbie. I always love when you play. I'm going to be just about 3 minutes, but I want to tell you these because it reminded me of this. When I was 17 or 18 years old, homeless, my father-in-law invited me. Well, he wasn't my father-in-law then, but my father-in-law, they used to house hired men in the house that we live in. So there'd be two guys that lived upstairs. His daughters lived in two downstairs bedrooms. They had another bedroom. And then we had an old garage out behind the house, not there anymore. Had two small camper trailers in there, and hired men would stay in there. So the hired men would come in for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That was the way the farm operated for years. And so when I started working for him as a kid, he sent me to East Bethany one day. He said, I want you to go over to William Phillips Oil Company in East Bethany. I want you to get, you know, such and such oil. I had no idea who it was. I'd never done anything like that before. This is going back over 40 years now. And I'll never forget, because my family, my dad, had an awful reputation, terrible. And that carried with us. And I'll never forget walking in there, and I had a piece of paper. He told me, this is what we want. And I gave it to them. And this old man in back, who was the owner of it at that time, he leaned out around the table. He says, who are you? Who are you here for? I said, my name is Marty McDonald. I'm here for Andy Breckenridge. I'll never forget as long as I live. He yelled out to the guy at the counter. He says, whatever he wants, give it to him. You can give him the whole place. Andy's good for it. I thought, well, I never heard anything like that before. Reputation. Because he was a man of his word, and he paid his bills, and you know, he took care of business like that. Fast forward to about, I don't know, 9, 10 years ago. How long have we owned the Generation Center? I don't know. 9 years. When we were doing the work on it, we owed Falcone Electric $54,000, and we were out of money. Zero. People had given, but we were there. We were out of money. My father-in-law did business with Falcone's, and his father did business. We went to see Mike Falcone. I don't know what to tell you, Mike. We don't have the money. He said, don't worry about it. This is what he said. He said, I knew your father-in-law, and I know you. When you get it, you pay us. That's reputation. Come on, I said, that's reputation. Amen. So what I'm saying there is you might not have the best reputation. If you connect yourselves with people that do have a great reputation and you start to walk in the way that you need to walk, you will have a part of that. Right, Chris Bosniak? Where is Chris? You back there eating a sandwich? I want you to know that, because that's all really important. Two other things. This is so incredible that you got. I had a person come and see me today. He's never been in my office, never been in the church. If I said his name, their name, you would know probably who it was. Most of you owns a very great business in the community. got mad at somebody and let a word come out. And now they're worried about the whole business because they're going to come, they're under this enormous attack. Why? And I sat there and I said just what you said. You have to pause before you say what your mind tells you to say. Come on today. Sometimes people just, their mouths are, we used to call it like the manure spreaders on the farm. They just, they're just, and poop is coming out of them all the time. It's his fault. He brought that up here. So you got to stop. Everybody say stop. Come, everybody say this. Say stop and think. I can't sing the song you sang, but that's so true. And then one more thing. You can recover from a bad decision and a bad reputation. That last scripture verse that he put up there from Thessalonians. Seek the Lord. You can recover. Hear me now, but not right away. It is a lie and a misnomer. Yeah, will God forgive you? Yes. You know how many people I've talked to over the years that have done things? Well, God forgives me, and that makes everything all right. He does forgive you, and it makes everything all right in heaven. But you got to deal with things here on earth. Why am I telling you that? Because it will give you the impetus to think before you make a decision. Excellent job. Man, I like this guy. Don't you love him? I love him. Love your family. Stacy, come on down. Dan, come down here. I want Nicole and Micah to come down too. And thank God that you had influence on Micah's life. Micah, when you stood up here and you began to talk tonight, the power of God is in your voice. Authority came out of your mouth. And I'm so proud of these. Aren't you proud of these young guys here and girls? And Natalie, girl, beautiful, love you. We love you. Don't we love her? We love you so much. I'm going to close in prayer. Then if you're dealing with any of this stuff, you just need some help. Maybe you're in a tough place. Maybe your reputation was like mine was growing up, and you just need some help. Help with it. Maybe your decision process. Maybe you are one of those people that say things or do things, or you get in arguments on social media. You're not going to gain. It's just going to hurt you. Let these folks, let these young, mighty people of God pray over you tonight. Father, I just want to say thank you for who you are inside of us, and inside of, in particular, as we recognize your giftings on these young people tonight. God, just continue to use them. Use them in the society that you have put us in now. Use them greatly in the church, but not only in the church. Lord, let them be used even outside in different arenas and different places. Let them have this impact on culture, on the way people act and think, that will turn their hearts towards you. And multitudes will come to know you as a result of it. I pray blessing and favor over people's lives here today. God, I ask if anyone is being tugged in this at all, to give them the courage to step forward and say, I need help in this area, Lord. I give you thanks, Lord. Blessing, I pray. Father, I even pray tonight. I felt you move me today. We pray for the event that is happening in Austin Park this weekend. God, that you will be honored and you will be glorified in it. And God, that lives will turn to you, hearts will be changed, and Lord, you will receive all of the glory for it. I give you thanks, Lord. Now, bless your people in a great way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you so much. Listen, you need prayer. Come on down. Don't leave. Let these folks pray over you.